The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com. And welcome to another live episode of Wrestling with Jonas, episode 242, part of the Jonas Podcasting Network. And I've got a fabulous guest with me this week on the podcast. And what better way to spend a Tuesday evening than with the goddess of dragons, one half of the Sacrifice Pro Tag Team Champions, Mia Cortez. Mia, brilliant to have you on the show. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. It's very good to be here. I'm very excited about this.
Me too, 100%. But we're going to be asking viewers, anybody watching at home, if you want to send in your questions for Mia Cortez, you can just ping them through on your chosen device and we'll do our very best to bring them up on screen and answer them during the course of this live podcast experience. That's what I like to call it, because it is an experience, and especially with Mia Cortez here. And Mia, the last time we saw one another was not too long ago, just last Friday, as a matter of fact. You were there at the latest Sacrifice Pro show, weren't you? It was Aubergine Emoji, their 18 plus show. And unlike some promotions that do 18 plus shows, this one was a lot of fun. And I mean, for example, you had BDSM, Charles Crowley and Clementine in the main event against the 87. And there was all sorts of, toys and implements used in that one. Not kind of steel chairs or light tubes, but other things that we probably won't mention. But the show as a whole was fantastic. And you were there cheering from the sidelines, losing your voice. But to tell us about the show. That was a lot of fun, wasn't it? And an 18 plus show done right, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. Hands down, best over 18 show I've ever actually been to. The matches were hilarious. The guys really, really put on an amazing show. And everybody, I think, stepped up to a level that was just phenomenal. Yeah. Like, each and every one of them should be absolutely proud of what they did. The fans loved it. Every single fan had a great time. We had a couple of first timers there as well that had never been to a wrestling show before.
Really?
And
wow.
They were like blown away. Absolutely. Which was amazing to hear, because usually I'm in the other side. So I don't really get to see that much of the show, and I get to interact with the fans a little bit sort of at the end. So to actually just sort of mingle and watch and see the reactions and how people like felt was really amazing. It was magical, absolutely magical show.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I love about Sacrifice Pro. And of course, it's a charity group, do some wonderful things, raise some great money for charity groups around that area, around the Bedfordshire area. But it's always a great atmosphere backstage, and the fans. I mean, front of house, the matches themselves, the talent. They go out there, they have fun, they give an entertaining night for the viewers' money, for the fans' money. I think people go away thinking, yeah, you know, this is a good promotion doing good things, and they've given them money's worth as far as entertainment's concerned. But I mean, why do you love Sacrifice Pro in particular? Because you've been there for a few years, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a great family vibe. Like, we're all family, we're all supportive of each other, we're all like willing to like help out. Like, you know, if you're stuck for an idea or something, where you just, there's always somebody there that is always willing to be like, do you know what, why don't you try this, or why don't you try that? And I mean, even like outside of like the shows, people are supportive of each other. We're sharing each other's stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know? And it's such a lovely environment to be a part of. And not only that, like, to us, our fans are like family.
Yeah.
And we treat them as such. And I think that's why they come back. They know that they are a part of what's going on. They're not just there as a moneymaker. You're a part of our show and you're a part of our family. And we treat you as such, and we want to deliver you something that is just magical.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I say, there's certainly no egos backstage. They're not looking to put on, you know, five-star classic matches. It's all about entertainment. You have great action in the ring from, let's be honest, some of the best wrestlers, some of the best talent in the whole country. And yeah, if you're in the Bedfordshire area or around that neck of the woods, go and support Sacrifice. They put on monthly shows from the Bedford Town kind of football ground, highly recommend it. And like I say, you'll certainly see Mia there, and probably see me wandering around as well, doing one or two things and getting in the way. But as I mentioned in the intro, Mia, you are one half of the Sacrifice Pro Tag Team Champions, and it's the what's the name of the title? It's the Saints of Sacrifice, isn't it? Yeah. That's what they've called it. So a really, really great name for a tag team championship. Much different and better than kind of just calling it tag team titles. But you are one half of the tag team champions with Evie. When did you and Evie first get together as a tag team, and then eventually going on to win the titles?
So I think it was sort of after lockdown, actually. It's quite difficult to have a women's division because, quite frankly, there's not that many of us down here. To be sort of able to be included and, you know, like be a part of Sacrifice,
yeah,
there was an opportunity for the tag department. I mean, there's, as you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of singles wrestlers, but when it comes to tags, there's less of them. So, and we're two big strong girls, and I mean, we're quite different in how we wrestle, but it goes together really well. It's like I'm the fire and she's like the technical, that, you know, the ground and pound. She'll twist you up, I'll chuck you about and land on you from some height of some sort.
Absolutely. And it's Night Fury, isn't it, the name of your team?
Which is, yeah,
a fantastic name. And it ties in nicely with your gimmick, of course, because I think was Night Fury one of the breeds of dragon out of How to Train Your Dragon? Or is that where you got the name from?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely love that film as
and
well.
It's a cool last name as well, isn't it?
Is.
Like, it sounds pretty badass. Like, it's quite hard when you're thinking of tag team names. It's really hard, and you're there just like for ages, and then just one rolls off the tongue, and you're like, oh,
yeah,
oh, yeah.
Pretty badass, and it fits the gimmick as well. And I think, now, I don't know if there's been anything formally announced yet, and I'm not going to kind of spoil anything, but we've got Sacrifice Pro's 5th anniversary show coming around the corner, the 19th of June. Do you know whether you're set to defend your titles on that show? What's going to be your involvement in that big anniversary show? Do you know?
Well, I believe we are set to defend our titles. We are fighting champs.
Of course.
So bring it on. Bring it on. We will take on whoever they've got in the cards for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, we may be little girls in a world of big, strong boys, but you know what? I think we've got it covered. We've got it. We give as good as we get. And that's like one of the great things, I suppose. Like, we are quite little, but don't underestimate us, because you know what, we'll go toe-to-toe with the boys. We ain't afraid. We are not afraid to go toe-to-toe. There's no playing it safe with us. Like, we are going ham with those boys, because you know what, girls can do it just as good as the guys can. And you know what, like, I love that the guys will go toe-to-toe with us, and they don't see us as little girls. They see us as opponents, and they know that, well, as Los Palominos found out, when you get complacent, you don't see things coming.
Yeah, 100%. We just have to wait to see who your opponents are going to be when the announcement's made for that big 5th anniversary show, June the 19th, Sacrifice Pro. We will kind of eagerly await the announcements on social media for that. You hit the nail on the head there, Mia, and you're not afraid to go when it comes, you know, to bell time. And looks like you're not afraid to mix it up with the guys as well as the girls. And in fact, the last match I saw of yours was at Sacrifice Pro against Memes. And I know that we were talking a bit off air about that match and how, I mean, he's a huge guy. He must be, cool, I don't know.
6'7".
6'7", going up against yourself. Now, I mean, granted, you are the goddess of dragons, but he was literally throwing you around that ring. But proving how tough you were, you kicked out of all of his big moves. I think he tried to buckle bomb you against the ring post on the outside. He was dragging you around the ring by your hair, all sorts, but he couldn't keep you down. He did eventually win the match to progress to the final of the Copen Cup. But, I mean, that was a hard-fought match. You must have felt a little bit sore after that one.
Do you know what? A little bit. He's a big guy. I realised at one point, I took like a 7-foot bump because he hit me with that pop-up last ride. He's 6'7", popped me up. It's like 7 foot in the air.
Yeah.
But it was so much fun. Like, it was great. He's a great guy to work. He's so funny that we did have fun. And yeah, I mean, the fans, they were just like, oh my God, Mia.
Yeah, get absolutely. Up. Yeah, absolutely.
But did you know, that's the thing, like, I'm not afraid to take those sort of bumps. Like, there's, you know, when you're in safe hands and you trust who you've got, your opponent, like, it's cool that you can go like that. And I didn't, you know what, the next day I'm not that sore, which is just, I'm doing it right.
Absolutely. We've just had our first listener question or viewer question. It's actually from Marty Jones, I believe, a legendary UK wrestler. He says, I'd like to take this opportunity to mention that Mia is a dedicated talent travelling 3 hours plus each way to attend my Squared Circle Pro Wrestling Academy and shows in Oldham. Total commitment and dedication deserves everything coming her way. One to watch in the sports from Marty Jones. Aww, so that's not bad, is it? So thank you, Marty, for watching. Much appreciated. And thank you for your comment there. Really, really nice. But, I mean, obviously, Marty thinks very highly of you, and it doesn't get kind of much better than that, to be honest with you. But you used to do a lot of training up north and a lot of shows that way.
It was a real honour to be invited up to train up with Marty, and I have learned so much, and it's a great environment, like, and it's such a fun. I sometimes go up and we do the two shows, so I'll stay up, we do the training during the day, shows in the evening, and it's a great experience. And there's so many other wrestlers there, just not just from the UK. I think the last time I went up, we had some Italian guys, there was a guy from Canada, you get, obviously there was Tucker, who's
brilliant guy,
brilliant, amazing, like, he taught some really, really neat stuff at his seminar. It's just great to like mingle, see other people's experiences, interact with different wrestlers from different places. And yeah, so it's always fun going up to Marty's. And again, it's like being in your family. Like, it's just such a nice welcoming vibe. And yeah, it's brilliant. Brilliant.
100%.
Yeah,
and like I say, you've probably trained in various training schools over your time. But I mean, one thing that's really impressed with me about yourself, Mia, is you know, your versatility in the ring. You know, you can do the mat work, you can throw your opponents around, you can come off the top rope and do some impressive high flying stuff. You are very, very versatile. Have you been kind of influenced over the years by people you've worked with, or maybe wrestlers that you grew up watching? Where does your style kind of come from? How has it evolved over the years?
So when I started watching wrestling, I loved Trish Stratus, but I also loved Christian. Like, Christian has always been one of my faves, always will be. I think he's just amazing. And like, again, Randy Orton for heel work, I think is just brilliant. When I'm a heel, I try to think that I'm Randy Orton. Nowhere near as good. I wish I was. I wish I could move like that man. I just want to like suck his soul into mine and then I'd be amazing.
Yeah.
But Yeah, like I always loved like the high flying stuff, and I was a fat kid, and it was something I never thought I'd be able to do. So it was always like I want to do that, and watching like Lita do the moonsault and just the moves that Trish used to do, I was just like I wanted to be them. And when I started training, I was the only girl, and I was the only girl for years. So I think again, training with the boys and just like having them treat me like I was another one of the boys, really, really helped my confidence and ability to learn that sort of style of it. Because yeah, one thing I'm always jealous about boys is that ability to get up to the top rope and stand there and think, I'm gonna do a corkscrew moonsault and I might die, and go, yeah, fuck it, and go. Whereas I get up there and go, I might die. Oh gosh, maybe not. Maybe I shouldn't do this. But it's just like, oh, but the boys give me that confidence to just be like, okay, let's go. They can do it, I can do it, let's do it.
Absolutely. I suppose as long as they catch you, that's the most important thing. But Mia, we'll be back in a second because I need to throw a quick sponsor's plug to our wonderful sponsor, who are, of course, 1310 Apparel, the amazing sponsor of the Wrestling with Jonas podcast. And of course, the Jonas Podcasting Network. We now have 50 of the best podcast and YouTube wrestling shows on the Jonas Podcasting Network, from hosts and content creators all over the world. So please go and check it out. But 1310 Apparel, you can find their stuff on the Wrestle Merch Central store. And when you go over there, you can see a wide range of apparel, clothes, t-shirts, hoodies, caps, beanies, including their hardcore range, their lucha range, and of course, their more traditional 1310 and Four Corners apparel. And if you head over to their Wrestle Merch Central store, you can see the exclusive Heidi Katrina 1310 shirt there, and simply go to 1310.merch.global to head over to 1310 store at Wrestle Merch Central. And as a viewer and a listener to the Wrestling with Jonas podcast, you can take advantage of our deal with 1310 over on their Wrestle Merch Central store and get 10% off of all that wonderful apparel, all that fantastic swag. Get 10% off at checkout. Simply use the discount code 1310WMC. One more time, that's 1310.merch.global, 1310 Apparel store on Wrestle Merch Central, and use the discount code 1310WMC. Mia, it's back over to us. And so we spoke a little bit off air, and I was trying to kind of establish a bit of a timeline as to when kind of wrestling, when you first fell into wrestling, when you started your training. When did you start your training? Because I guessed correctly, I think at mid-2000s, but tell our listeners and viewers exactly when it was.
So I started in 2004 and I was 14. So obviously I'd seen WWE, and I always just had this this not I know I didn't just want to do it. I felt like I needed to be in that ring. And like my mum was like, oh, it's another hobby that you're not gonna stick at. Like I'd done dance, I'd done gymnastics, and my mum was like, I swear to God, if you quit after 2 weeks, I'm not playing for anything ever again. And no, I didn't quit. I needed to be in that ring, and so my mum actually trawled and trawled until she found me a training school.
Wow.
Yeah, bless her.
Gotta love your mum. Gotta love your mum.
Yeah, I and she used to give me my fiver twice a week to go to wrestling training. Well, if I was good and did all my housework, I'd get the extra session, but if not, I'd just get the one session.
So you had motivation there to kind of, be good, do you contribute to the household? There we go. And it clearly paid off. So you was 14 when you started training, and something you always wanted to do. You was a big time WWF fan or WWE fan, and you made your debut a couple of years later, I understand.
Yeah, 2000. I had like a couple of academy shows in 2006, and had my first proper match at 17 in 2007.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, and how was that experience? Was you kind of racked with nerves before you went out? Was you kind of comfortable? Did you have
I
proper
was
gear? Was you prepared?
So no, I don't think, well, I had, no, I didn't have proper gear at that point. I didn't. I couldn't even tell you what I was wearing footwise in the ring, like, but I was petrified. Apps, because I always say it, right? People don't understand. No matter how much training you do, nothing will prepare you for being in that ring with an audience, with the light, with everything that's going on, and it is petrifying. You can get comfortable wrestling in training because there's no audience there, and there's no pressure to get it right so much. But you there, no amount of training prepares you for that initial, oh my God. And I actually believe that I went, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. And yeah, I just freaked out. But I used to travel with this girl. She was called Jade, but not this Jade,
Right.
different Jade.
Yeah.
And do you know what? She took care of me. She took care of me, and she took me around and got me like more experience. But yeah, she just kind of clobbered me, and I learned from that day, like, if you forget, just hit something, hit someone. Someone will come and hit you, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. But it obviously kind of started you on the path to being, the tough role model that you are at the moment. And I know once again we kind of had a discussion before we went live, but you kind of wrestled all the way up to about 2014, took a few years off, came back in 2017, and like I say, you haven't stopped since you came back in 2017. But what was it that kept you away from the sport for those few years? Had you fallen out of love with it, or was it an injury?
Know what it was. So I'd been like wrestling for just one or two promotions,
Yeah.
and the promotion that I started with didn't really want you to go elsewhere.
Right.
So I kind of got to a stage where I felt like I wasn't progressing anymore, and then I just thought to myself, if I can't do this wholeheartedly, what is the point? And if I'm not progressing, I'm putting on the same match each month, and it's stale. It got stale, and I lost a little bit of my passion for it, and my fire kind of got a bit dulled. Not
Yeah.
extinct, never extinguished, but it did get a bit dulled.
Sure.
So I pulled myself away for a longer than I actually wanted to, but kind of life just kind of flew past. But I always felt like something was missing during that time. I didn't feel like I was me. There was something that was now missing, a part of my life that I didn't have, that was a big part of my life. And it wasn't very nice. It wasn't nice.
So what was it that pulled you back in then? I mean, you'd had a few years out to maybe think and reflect and speak to people, and what kind of encouraged you to come back? What changed in that time?
So I think during that time I lost myself a bit. Like when my so when I lost my passion, I lost myself a bit and just got lost in life. And I think I got to a point where a big event happened, and
Yeah.
I had to make a decision in my life, and either carry on repeating the same cycles or find who I was again
Yeah.
and find that missing piece. And yeah, it's what I needed, and it's in one of the many, a lot of wrestlers will tell you, one of the many ways that wrestling has saved their life or aided their life. And yeah, I've got borderline personality disorder, so again, it's basically what my character's sort of based on. But it gives me that something, that it's an amazing world that I'm a part of. I always explain it to people who are not in the wrestling world, as it's kind of like the modern day equivalent of running away with the circus.
Yeah.
And I love that it's magical, and it just gives you something. It doesn't just give you something. It gives your fans something. It gives those kids something. I tussled with it. This kid had a vice-like grip. where she had this plastic belt, and I was a baddie and I wanted the belt, and I couldn't get the belt off of this kid. So in the end, I just took a bump. But that little girl is now the strongest person in the room, and she could have been having the worst day of her little life. And in that moment, she's the strongest girl in the room. I couldn't even wrestle a plastic belt off a child.
Yeah, there you go. But you've been in the business for a good while now, and you've wrestled for many promotions, many amazing talent on the UK scene. Was there a particular point in your career where things just kind of clicked and you kind of had a bit of clarity and understood kind of all the training that had gone before you that wasn't quite sinking in? Was there a match or a moment where things just kind of, you know, you had that kind of light bulb moment and thought, yeah, I understand it now, and then you kind of started shooting upwards from there?
Yeah, like, it was quite like only in the last couple of years or so. And I think training with different people really like opens your mind and really sort of allows it to sink in better. Because before, I felt like I was doing stuff for the sake of it, maybe because I thought that move was cool,
right,
rather than why am I doing this? Because what is it that this move is supposed to do to my opponent? Why am I using that here at this point in this match? And not only that, just structuring a match and making it a bit more back and forth. Because I used to do this thing as a babyface where I didn't fight back, and I'd get like the heat would be me getting kicked around the ring for 10 minutes and then popping up and doing a comeback, and it just made no sense. And I think it was when I went to start training with NBWA, New Breed, with Chris and Tom, and then obviously going to Marty and Kyle at Apex, whose knowledge with tech and things is amazing.
Yeah.
But going to Full Force and training under like Chris, who again, his knowledge, absolutely amazing tech in and out of the ring, making things make sense. Tom is an absolute amazing athlete. The guy is phenomenal. What he can do, and he gave me this confidence, and he explains things in a way that makes you sort of understand what you're trying to do. Yes, I'm trying to tell a story, but I am also trying to portray a fight, and like, you know, just doing tweaking little things, learning how to like react differently and things like that has really just helped my understanding of it all come together. And I'm now able to sort of put a solid match together that makes sense and that can build up, rather than it just being all sort of one level or just doing stuff for the sake of it. But yeah, I'd have to say, since I've started training under those guys, and obviously, you know, like Marty, his knowledge is just wow.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff he does, I've never even seen before, and I'm just like, wow. They just give you this different type of confidence and this sort of different perspective on things.
Absolutely. And I've actually got Marty coming on the show in a few weeks' time, so I can't wait to pick his brains. It's gonna be a great conversation. So many great stories there, I'm sure. But I want to talk to you about some of your opponents now, because I've got a bit of a list here of people that you've been in the ring with several times over. But let's talk about some of your opponents, and the likes of Nightshade, for example, Madison Miles, Dominita, Chantel Jordan, Jade, Kat Von K, so many more. Some great...
favourites.
Exactly. Tell us about facing... You've got any fond memories of facing some of that fantastic UK talent? Because, like I say, I'm sure they've got great memories of facing you, but any fun stories or any fond memories of those guys?
Oh, 100%. Dominita is brilliant. She always clouts me out of nowhere, right? It's not soft either, right? Knocks me for six. But you just hear her chuckling to herself, right? And then I'm chuckling to myself. But I'm still seeing stars because she's just knocked me into next week.
Oh,
brilliant. Always fun to wrestle. Like, she is hard as nails and she likes to go. We go to war. Like, we had this one show. Oh my God. I accidentally smacked her in the mouth. So I bust her lip. She headbutted me, but I fed into it. So she legit headbutted me, right? I've just collapsed in the corner like seeing stars. But it was such a brilliant match. Like, I always have fun with Dominika. Kat is brilliant. I love wrestling with Kat. We've got such amazing chemistry and she's one of my like bestest friends. Just a pure soul. Like, she's phenomenal in and out of the ring. I mean, you see what she does in the ring. Her presence is so captivating. And we've had some great matches. There was a triple threat we had at CPW, and the sparks were flying. It was just boom, 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 boom. Phenomenal. Like, I love working with her.
I've got to ask you, Chantel Jordan, how hard are her kicks? They look like they mean business when they connect.
Oh, that girl is hard as nails. I love it. They are solid, like solid. She would kick the soul out of you if she really wanted to. But again, she's a fantastic person to work with.
Yeah.
She is one of the most humble people I've ever met in my entire life. Like, the girl is just so lovely. And do you know what? She is going to soar in this business. Like, wow. Just pure talent. I wish I got it at that age. Like, she delivers every single time. Every single match is just solid and just breathtaking. Like, I am popping in the back when I'm watching her matches. Like, I've got goosebumps. They're electrifying. The kid is just phenomenal, man. Yeah. Just wow.
And what about Nightshade? Because I've recently seen Nightshade in action at Immortal Wrestling, where she became the brand new Immortal Wrestling Women's Champion. She's recently appeared on Progress. So she's absolutely killing it well at the moment.
Do you know what? That girl, from the moment I met her, I knew she was going to go far. I guess she's just got that stage presence. Like, she walks into that ring and every single person's attention is on her.
She owns it.
And again, such a hard worker. Again, hard hitting. We had so many matches in our younger days. Like, she was probably one of the people I wrestled the most back in my early career. And again, gave me some really fun matches, really fun times. Like, we used to travel a lot together, and watching how her career has progressed has just been really amazing. And it's nice to see that she is up there getting the recognition that she deserves, because she works so hard. The girl trains and brilliant.
Absolutely. Brilliant. We've got another person that's been in touch, and this one is from Frankie T. I've just checked the Facebook page, and Frankie has sent in a message. Mia is one of the hardest, most hardworking and very talented wrestlers I've ever come across, and is such an asset to the business. Very proud to call her my friend. So, Frankie, thank you very much for sending in your message. And
I love you.
Much appreciated, Frankie. Thank you very much, and thank you for watching. But I couldn't help but notice on your left-hand side there, you've got some gold, some championship belts that we've neglected to mention. But you've got the Coventry Pro Wrestling Galaxy title there. You've got the IWE UK championship as well, which is Frankie's promotion. You've got the Saints of Sacrifice tag team gold. You're Mia three belts at the moment. I don't know about Becky two belts, but Mia three belts. Congratulations. How does it feel to be representing those companies as their champion, carrying the gold? It must make you feel very, very proud and quite kind of fulfilled as a performer.
It really does. Like, it's such a nice feeling to know that not only do those guys trust me to be able to carry this belt for them, but it's a really odd feeling, because it's like it's so such an honor to have them and to see, like, I guess that you are appreciate my work, but not only that, that, you know, I'm not just here just, oh, I just want a belt, I'll turn up, but, you know, like, I'm here to represent that company, I care about that company, and it's nice to see that those promoters in return care about me and what I do for them, sort of thing. Do you know, yeah, it's a really lovely feeling. It's just, yeah, it's baffling that I've got three of them. I'm not gonna lie, it's
much deserved, very much deserved, and like I say, it puts you up there as one of the best workers in the UK. So obviously, you know, the belts tell a story, but I want to talk to you about you as the goddess of dragons now then. When did that kind of element of your personality, of your kind of character come, you know, come to full force? When did you kind of think of the idea? And what's your affinity with dragons that kind of spurred it all on to start off with, I suppose?
So I have always loved dragons. I got my first dragon tattoo when I was like 18, the big one on my back. They're such beautiful creatures, like both Western and Eastern views on them. I do like a bit more of the Chinese sort of dragons. They are a bit more mythical, I think. But I do like the fire-breathing dragons because they're strong. And, you know, dragons are strong creatures. They command, like, they've got a commanding presence, and sometimes they can be a bit dicks. They like gold, we know that. They definitely like gold. And I'm a bit like a dragon sometimes. I can breathe fire. Catch me on the wrong day. But the character really came into play when I was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, which is sort of mood swings up and down. So sometimes I could be like, wee, on top of the world, and others I could be like, right, that is it, I'm gonna end everything. Sorry, that was a really bad phrase of work.
Yeah, we know what you mean, we know what you mean.
End the world.
Yeah. Yeah. You've just had enough, yeah. We know what you mean.
Yeah. So again, I liked, and the film Split was absolutely amazing.
Great film.
And I really liked how they did that. So that kind of fed into it with the different dragon personalities. And also there's a lot of dragons in wrestling.
Yeah.
So I was trying to see, sort of think how I could make mine different. So I'm not just a dragon. I'm not the dragon. I am influenced by the dragon, but the dragon, I cannot become the dragon, because I've had to make that sort of quite distinguishable, because people are like, oh, why don't you put the mask on and become the dragon and have ultimate dragon strength? And
yeah,
it's just like, so I've had to sort of like mix it up, whereas I am sort of like the guy Split, and then whichever dragon has got the light depends on how I act. So my character itself, the dragon goddess, is neither good nor bad.
Right, okay.
It just depends on which dragon is steering the ship.
Well, let me ask you about that then, because I was going to ask, you know, you've got three masks, haven't you? You got to the blue one, the red one, and the green one, and they've all got different personalities. Does one dictate whether you're a baby face, or one dictate whether you're a heel? Or tell us about the different personas. So when you put on the colours of the dragon, what does it mean?
So the blue is blue eyes. She is the baby face dragon.
Right.
The red, well, she's the one. So originally I just had the two. I had the green and the red. Now the green is sort of green. I've got black as well now. So green and black are sort of tweeners. They're neither good nor bad. They just are sort of like the warriors on either side. So, but the blue, she wants to like save mankind. Whereas the red one, he wants to destroy everything.
I've got some pictures the world. Here. So there's the blue. Yeah. That is some great pictures here. Some fantastic pictures. And there you are with me. I don't know why I've got my eyes closed in that picture, but you've got the belt with you and the green dragon. I really don't know why I've got my eyes closed there.
I'm looking shocked.
Maybe. Thank you for explaining the different personalities. And I'm not going to ask you which one is your favourite, because that's like asking a mother, you know, which one is her favourite child. And I wouldn't do
oh,
that
God,
to anybody.
I was just going to bring the red
and
ones.
And the others
today,
would get jealous as well. The others would get jealous. So we don't want that.
That's why I had to bring them all, because I was going to bring the red one, but then they were all like whinging. So I had to bring them all.
But you touched on it earlier, and they do talk to you, and I think you talk to the masks, and it makes a good entertainment, especially when you come out there. And sometimes they can kind of talk to you on the way to the ring, and sometimes even during a match, the dragon can talk to you. But that can lead for some quite entertaining matches, can't it?
Oh, 100%. The weirdest, I didn't know if the fans would get it when I first started doing this gimmick, but do you know what, they actually have taken to it really well and they do understand it. But learning to talk to the mask was weird as hell, because I didn't know what to say to it at first, so I legit had to walk around just talking to this mask. I'd do it at wrestling shows, like if I was wandering the corridors and there was like fans about, I'd just start talking to the mask. So I had to walk around and just talk to it, so it became a bit more second nature. And the idea is, when I put the mask on, I can hear it, and if I give it to you and tell it, you can hear it. But if you take my mask, like Jimmy, Cat Von Cage's boyfriend,
right,
found out, the mask will scream in your ears and you need to take it off.
Yeah.
So Jimmy was brilliant for it, because we did this spot where I've gone to run a hope spot, and as I turn to hit the ropes, he picks my mask up and I'm like, no, put it down. Cat rolls me up from behind, I roll through. As Jimmy puts the mask on, he's like, ah! Cat's then like, what's going on? So then I roll her up. So yeah, it's fun to use in my matches. And plus I can react to it. So like in a tag match, when like, if Evie's getting hit, I'll react to the dragon and be like, oh, she's going to feel that.
Yeah.
And it just, it calms my nerves, to be fair, sometimes. Like, once I'm talking to a mask, there's nothing else that I'm going to do in that ring that is going to embarrass me.
Well, there is that. You make a good point. And it looks like it adds a different dimension to the match as well. It's something else to kind of pull the audience in with as well, because you've added a different kind of different element to the match.
It gives them that opportunity to interact as well, because they actually interact with the mask. They will talk to it. I've had fans talk to the mask, and like they'll have their own conversations with the mask. And it's so cool to watch them really like embrace that and just be like, yeah. I had one little boy tell me I was talking to an imaginary friend, and I was like, well, he's not imaginary, is he? Because he's in my hand.
There you go. It was really there. Yeah, absolutely. I've got to ask you, and it's up to you how you respond to this, but in my opinion, I think you're one of the most knowledgeable, experienced pros in the business. You've been in the business 18 years. And I know there was a couple of years in the mid-2010s when you kind of were off doing other things. But you've been in the business a long time, very, very experienced, fantastic in the ring. Like I say, you understand the business and you know, you can work for any promotion up and down the country. I'm going to say it, and you can agree with me if you want, but I think that you deserve to work for more promotions around the UK. There needs to be greater visibility, a greater spotlight on Mia Cortez, and that maybe, you know, that you've been overlooked by certain promotions that could have used you before now, and you deserve to be used all over the country. How would you respond to that?
There is a lot of fantastic talent out there, and I mean, I know there's different types of shows. My character doesn't always fit certain shows, which is fine. I am a lot more comfortable on what I'd say is the more interactive shows. I know there's this, sometimes people are like indie shows and camp shows. I can if you want to divide the two, I can wrestle both styles. I do prefer the more interactive shows though, because it's just, I find them easier to sort of work. It's more comfortable. It's what I got into the business for. So I understand that my character and my style of wrestling doesn't suit every single promotion out there. And as I say, there is a lot of great female talent out there at the moment. But I've got a good load of promotions that I do regularly work for, which I am so honoured to be a part of. And I mean, every single one of them has got such a great presence, such a great backstage presence. They're also supportive and stuff like that. But I mean, yeah, sometimes I guess we all get that. Why aren't I there? Or why haven't you asked me? But again, I'm very, I don't like to ask.
Right.
So yeah. I'm sure if I was to ask, maybe I would get some of those opportunities. But
yeah
I'm quite, I know it sounds really like a flip around, I'm quite shy in that sort of approach. And I guess that's part of my borderline personality disorder. I don't, not that I'm guess I'm scared that they would just be like, no.
Yeah, but you want your work in the ring to do the talking for you, and like I say, it's definitely done that so far. And I didn't want to put you in an awkward situation there, definitely not.
No,
but I definitely feel that, you know, you are one of the best female, one of the best talents in the UK with everything you can do in the ring, character wise, promo wise, your versatility in the ring as well. I think you're a phenomenal talent, and if there's any promoters watching this, then book Mia Cortez 100%. You'll get you know, more than your money's worth with Mia Cortez. But I've got to ask you. Absolutely, kind of heartfelt. But I've got to ask you: do you have any favourite matches or favourite opponents? So I think that leads us to a question that came in earlier, actually. So let me bring it up here. Here we go. How about this one from KJPWP podcast, Kieran? What is your biggest match of your career so far, from Kieran? So do you have like a biggest match or a favourite match that you've been a part of, or that you've maybe enjoyed the most? And that's a good question, by the way.
Yeah. Do you know what? I've got a good few favourites. One of my favourite matches is a match against El Jeff, the Dragon Warrior, Sacrifice Red, at the Over 18 show. And we went ham in that match.
Wow.
And it was my first ever Over 18 show as well. I'd never done one before. So we started the match with a Poison Rana.
Wow.
In that match, I hit a Poison Rana, a satellite DDT, a Frankensteiner, a lumber check, then the Pepsi plunge, and the neck breaker.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great match. I'm going to have to search that one out.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? It was a really fun match to do. And, like, everyone was so supportive there, like, that night. I was so nervous. I couldn't even speak to anyone. Like an hour before the show, I was sweating. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I was freaking out. Like, but, yeah, that was a good one. I also had a really, really great match at CPW against Lana Austin.
Oh.
I'd have to say that was probably one of the biggest matches I've had. That was the first time I'd ever faced somebody on her level. And wow, do you know what? It was amazing. She was so fun to work. One of the loveliest people I've ever met. And again, it was such an honor to share a ring with her. I learned so much, and she, her, again, her presence, the way she just captivates that audience like that, and a phenomenal heel to work with, just like Jade. Again, great heels. Maddie, always fun to work with, heel or face, she's always fun to work with. But yeah, I mean, that match with Lana, again, I was so nervous because I'd never worked with anyone on that level, and I didn't want to disappoint her, and I didn't want her to go away and think, oh my gosh, that was awful. Oh. And I was really ill. I had a chest infection as well. And I just remember this one part through the match that I thought I was going to throw up. And I was like, just got to keep going. Got to keep going. We made it to the air. And the audience were, we got this is awesome chant. It was so much fun. Cage match. I had a cage match with Alfie, who I absolutely love wrestling with. Again, one of my absolute best friends. We've got amazing chemistry, and she's just like me. We get to a show and we're like, what crazy stuff should we do today? Superplex? You can superplex me off the top of the cage, yeah?
Wow.
You sure you want to do that, Mia? Yeah, let's do it. We're in a cage. We are. And again, that was my first ever cage match. So it was, I was buzzing. We had so much fun in that match.
That's awesome.
Yeah, like I've got so many great matches that I've had like over the last few, like, well, over this year,
sure,
that I'm like really hard to pick a favorite because I've got so many favorites with different wrestlers now. Like my match at CBW for the Galaxy Championship with Kat was phenomenal. Wrestling at Hinckley a couple of weeks ago.
We haven't
ago.
Mentioned them yet. Great promotion, yeah?
No, yeah, amazing. Again, that's like, they've given me such amazing opportunities, and we had a five-way scramble match, and it was brilliant.
Which you won. You won that one.
I did win it, yep. And I stole Luke Basham's dive. I stole his dive. And again, we got a This Is Awesome chant, and like when you get that, I don't know, it's a really surreal feeling because you see it like on TV, you see them like, this is awesome for WWE, and you never really think like, oh, I wouldn't get that. But when you're in a match and you're like, wow, they are like, it's electrifying. I don't know, it's so emotional.
Yeah.
I literally just sat there after that scramble match and just sat on the edge of the ring with my music playing, because I was a heel the first time I was there and they didn't really react to me. And I thought, I was so nervous going in as a baby face thinking, oh no, what if they don't react to me? But as soon as I came out as the baby face, it was like a whole different ball game. They were just like, rah, Mia. And yeah, like winning that match, given the opportunity to win that match and to just sit there with my music playing and all of these fans. I had this one little boy, he was amazing. I gave him my mask during like the match, and after like the dives, every time I got thrown at the ring, he was literally out of his seat and above me with his hand like, come on Mia, you've got to get up, take my hand. Like, and this little boy is pulling me up, and it's and as I'm laying there and I'm like, that's why I do this.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I do this. It's such an amazing,
it's those memories. And those memories that live with the fans as well. That little boy's gonna remember that forever, and you're gonna be his favorite wrestler forever now as well. But that's fantastic. Some great stories. And like I say, it shows, you know, with the This Is Awesome chant, how loved and how respected you are by the fans and you know, by the people you work with. But very much deserved, very much deserved. I'm gonna leave the final question to KJPWP, who've sent in another question. Any dream wrestlers that you want to share the ring with? It's a two-part question, this. So any dream wrestlers you want to share the ring with and the best advice you've ever been given? So any dream opponents, first of all?
Oh, yeah. So I want Clash of the Mythicals.
Go on.
You know who I want? Jason Joshua.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Dragon versus the Unicorn, definitely. Do you know what? There's so many in my head. Is like, whoa. BDSM. BDSM. I need to get in the ring with him.
I can see it now. That, I can see it now. Oh, Clementine. Do you know what? So we're what on the same team as them, or would you be against them? Well, of course against them. With Evie. Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
Night Fury versus BDSM.
Oh yeah. My god, yes, 100%. Another one that I really am looking forward to hopefully getting to work with, Roth.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Like, tearing it up across the UK.
Every time I watch him, I'm just blown away. Like, he is such a great talent. Great, great talent. And it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah, he's having a breakout year for sure. He's had a breakout couple of years, to be honest with you, but he's doing the business, yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
And what about the best advice you've ever been given?
Tell you what, the best advice that I've actually ever been given in wrestling is stay safe and have fun.
Yeah.
Like, have fun. If you are not having fun, why? To me, this is my happy place. Like, if a match goes wrong, it goes wrong. It's a learning like, I'm not going to be angry about it, and I'm not going to be stressed about it. I always say the next one will be better. You can't always guarantee that you're going to have a great match. Like, I can't guarantee that every single time I come out there, I'm going to be able to put on a great match. It's an impossibility. So, but going out there and just having fun, and, you know, if it does go wrong, just roll with it. Yeah. Roll with it. Have some fun. Have a laugh. That's what we're all here to do. Like, we are dressed as, I'm dressed as a dragon. Somebody's probably, I've seen Crowley wrestle in an elephant speedo. You know,
nothing would surprise me with that guy. Nothing would surprise me with Charles Crowley.
if you can't have a laugh with it and you can't have fun, then it's not the business for you, really. Like, it's a magical world, and that's what I love about it, the ability to be whatever you want. And it's not like other, I know people don't class it as a sport, but we are athletes and we do work hard and we do a lot of stuff that I'm like, we should be regarded as athletes. But it is one of those sports that is so open to anyone. It doesn't matter what shape, size, you don't have to be a certain anything to be a wrestler. And again, that's what I love about it, the fact that it isn't closed doors. Anyone can be anything, and you don't have to just be a wrestler to be in this world. Like, the most important person in the match is, in my opinion, is the referee. Do you know how much he does? Like, and then obviously you've got all the cameramen, the sound men, the guys that help set up the ring.
Yeah.
Every single person can be a part of the wrestling world, and that's what I truly love about it.
100%, 100%. Before we let you go, I want to kind of talk to you about your up-and-coming matches. So I know I've got some graphics here, but the next one I understand is this coming weekend for Force Wrestling, of course.
Of course, in Warwick.
Tell us about that match, your opponents. You must be looking forward to that one.
Oh, I am very excited, very excited. So I've worked with Nadia a few times. Never actually had a match, but I love the girl. She is so lovely. Obviously, Josie.
Dominita. Wow, we spoke about her earlier, didn't we?
Yeah. I have never been in the ring with LA Taylor, but I have been on her show with her.
Yeah.
And from what I see, she is great. So is great. I'm very excited. And I'm a little dragon in a world full of big, strong girls in this match. So those big, strong girls will see how loud this little dragon can roar.
100%. That's for the Full Force Wrestling Women's Championship. That's going to be, I'm going to say it now, it's going to be match of the night. You just got to look at the people that's involved, 100%. And what about this one here for Apex Pro, May the 28th? So the following very, week, this is going to be good excited.
Very excited to be back at Apex.
Yeah.
As you know, they're in my hometown. They're guys that I train with regularly. Again, they've played quite a big part in my career, helping me out, giving me some fantastic opportunities. So I'm very excited for that show. I guess in my hometown. So it's not very often I get to, I'm so always in a different town every weekend, that it's not been very often that I've wrestled actually in my hometown over the last few years. So it's great to be back and coming back as a baby face.
Of course.
Yeah, like, I am excited for that. Like, Apex is always, again, a great show, great backstage presence. Like, the guys are all lovely. So yeah, I'm very excited for that one.
100%. And you've got some merch as well, some sweet merch by the looks of it. A lovely t-shirt there. Where can my viewers and listeners of Wrestling with Jonas get hold of the Mia Cortez merch at the moment then, Mia?
So we do have a pre-sale on at the moment. So you can either drop my pages a message on Twitter, Insta or Facebook. So £15 and you get 2 free signed photos with your t-shirt. After the sale, they are £20. And a massive thank you to JG Printing for designing and printing these for me. So yeah, if any of you guys are looking to have t-shirts made, I highly recommend JG Printing.
100%. Yeah, great t-shirts there. And like I say, really good pre-sale offer. Was it £15 and you get a signed photo as well? Brilliant value for money. You'd be silly not to take advantage of that, especially for the awesome Mia Cortez. But we've got your socials running along the bottom there. Where can my listeners of Wrestling with Jonas, viewers of Wrestling with Jonas, reach out to you if they want to say hi, learn more about Mia Cortez, get to see some fantastic action of yours, or just generally find out more about Mia Cortez? How can they reach out?
You can like my Facebook page, which is Mia Cortez Wrestler Independent, right? Because for some reason it auto-corrected it. Right, no, it didn't auto-correct it. It spelt it wrong.
I hate it when that happens.
Refuses to let me change it. So I now, when people are like, you know it's spelt wrong, I'm like, I'm so independent that I'm Independent.
100%. There you go. That's how you roll.
But yeah, you can give my page a like or hit me up on Instagram or Twitter and I will drop you a message back.
So it's all scrolling along the bottom there. I think Instagram is Mia_Cortez_wrestler. And on Twitter, it is @MiaCortez, GODDE1. There we go. I'll make sure all the links to all your socials are in the description to this podcast, so please do not worry. But Mia Cortez, it's been amazing speaking to you for just a little bit over an hour. Time has absolutely flown. I just want to thank you so much for your time. If you've got any shout outs or any messages for your fans, any kind of final words from yourself before we say goodbye?
I'd like to say a big shout out to the Coben family. As you know, we lost Steve this year, which was devastating. He was a massive part of the Sacrifice family, one of our fans from the very beginning. So I'd like to shout out Steve and his wonderful family who continue to come and support us at Sacrifice. And you know, all the guys and girls that I train with, Sacrifice, Apex, Ball Force, MBWA, Marty. I mean, thank you all for everything you've done for me. And like, honestly, thank you for just being part of my family. All of the wrestlers, everybody involved with the wrestling world, all of the fans. And yeah, love to you all.
That's awesome. And book Mia Cortez, one of the best independent talents in the UK. Book her on your show. You will not regret it. You will not be disappointed. But Mia Cortez, it's been awesome speaking to you. Thank you so much for being an excellent guest. And we'll catch up again soon, my love.
Yes, thank you for having me. It's been amazing.